Morning, everyone. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about gaining Christ gratitude, and it's based on the 25th chapter in Matthew. And we'll have some scripture readings that'll be going on throughout it, and just hope you bear with me. I worked in this, and I'll see what we can come up with here. So, truly great to be here, and that we can maybe learn a little bit about gaining Christ's attitude. And then a lot of this comes from a Church of Christ minister. I'm glad that they have ministers out there that can help people like me learn to do things like this, and can instruct the way to put something together that it makes a little bit of sense, hopefully, for everybody. So with all that said, let's start out here. It says one, and this is back... happened back in the Philippines during the World War II. The story was told. It said, although the region was secure, sometimes the enemy tried to infiltrate our food storage area. One such adversary, dressed in GI clothing, once worked himself into the noontime chow line. Our camp cook spotted him. Called for the MPs, hollered to them, "Hey, we have an invader." And the MPs were patrolling the area. After it was all over, we asked the cook how he knew the man was an enemy soldier. "I figured it wasn't one of you guys," he said to the rest of the people, "because he was coming back for seconds." He was thankful he was finally getting something good to eat. That enemy soldier stood out because he was a thankful person. Likewise, God tells us that we should stand out as thankful people. And we'll learn that here in the next four scripture readings. First one's Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Therefore, as a Christian, thankfulness should be so much a part of our lives that we should stand out. I guess it should come as no surprise to discover that Jesus was thankful. And we'll learn that through Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" So it just goes to show that he was thankful for the work that was done by all of us when we're helping out those that are in need. And we might do it and not even know who we're really doing it for. But you know, I never thought of God as being a thankful before. I never even heard of a lesson, you know, telling me a lot of times how thankful God was. Now, why would that be? Actually, there's a very good reason why. Too many people think God ought to be grateful to them. For example, a lot of people think God owes them salvation. They've been pretty good. Sure, they've done bad things, but only when they had to. Or when they were weak, or well, when the other guy did worse. But they've done a number of good deeds. Surely they deserve salvation. They view it as a kind of a point system. They've earned enough points to get the gift. Yet in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." God doesn't owe us salvation. We can't do enough. Our sin makes even our good deeds ugly. I have an illustration here. It might sound like, you know, talking about something being ugly, but just imagine that last night you went to bed. But before you went to bed, you grabbed a cup and you poured something in it and you drank it. And the next morning you get up and you want to drink something and you get, say, a bottle of orange juice out and you want to pour it in that cup. Are you going to drink from it because you didn't wash the cup from the night before? People are going to say that you can't drink something like that because it's not, the cup wasn't clean. You can't pour something clean into a good cup. Ah, because it has been poured into an unclean vessel. That's how it is when we offer our clean deeds to God without first having Him cleanse our heart and our soul. However, the liquid's clean, the vessel that we still have sometimes is very unacceptable because we're not very clean ourselves. Even the religious churchgoers can get an opinion that they are doing God a favor. Somehow, they get the opinion that God ought to be thankful for what they do. That's what the Pharisees did. This type of person plays the game. They are faithful in attending church, praying, working, singing, but it's all to earn brownie points. So at the end of the day, they can say to God, "Hey, you owe us." I can remember sometime long ago, my brother and I, we used to, when we lived out in the farm, they were putting in a road, an interstate. And one of our first jobs, all these people were looking for something to drink. And I thought, geez, wouldn't it be a good idea maybe to sell cans of soda to them along the road while they're building, because it was really hot. And we did that. And we charged a price for soda, and when we charged this price, a lot of times when we went to the gentlemen that were working there, instead of giving us the price of, say, 75 cents a can, they said, "Here, take the dollar, keep the tip." Well, you know what? When I got to the next person, he didn't do that to us, to my brother and I. He just gave the exact amount. I thought, well, geez, maybe I should say something to him. But that's really not what should be done. You should be doing it because you want to do it. And it's, you know, how would that person have thought? Do you think they'd have been interested in saying, you know, probably our days of selling soda would have probably came to a quick end, because usually things like that, you know, come to the word of that kind of work spreads very, very quickly. So you can imagine how, you know, they would have reacted. And so because people too often believe God should be grateful to them, you're not likely to hear many sermons about God being thankful to us. It just feeds the wrong motivation. But God is grateful through He, our Master. Though He is our Master and owes us nothing, God can be thankful. He wants to reward us for when we do which pleases Him, because He wants to show us His gratefulness. And that can be seen in Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and love you have shown Him, as you have helped His people and continue to help them. In Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expectation to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High." Psalms 19:17, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what He has done." And Matthew 25, verse 40, that I just read a while ago, "The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least one of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And so God tells us He wants to reward us. He wants to be thankful. But I'm faced with a conflict here. God wants to be thankful to me, but I shouldn't presume that God should be thankful to me. How do I deal with this? How do I avoid falling into a trap thinking God owes me? So we can imagine looking back at the answer through the verses, you know, through the answer of sheep that God gave to the king, and that's in the verses that we just read in 35 through 40. Notice how surprised the people were that when Jesus said, or when it was said that, you know, you took care of me. and you didn't realize it. They were really surprised. They never thought about their good deeds as brownie points, as debt that God owed them in return on their investment. They did what they did because they knew that's what God wanted. They did that because they wanted their light to shine before men so that others might see their good deeds and glorify their Father in heaven. And they became so used to that kind of behavior and becoming so natural, it was just like us breathing today. It came natural to them. They didn't have to think about it. Another illustration, excuse me, was probably back when the Holocaust was going on. They had people called rescuers. And those rescuers, they helped people by going to visit them in the hospital. They took care of collecting books for students that couldn't afford books back then. And they were taking care of stray animals. They just got into the habit of doing good. If they hadn't perceived that pattern, as natural as they might have been, it might have paralyzed them to inaction. They did what came natural. They came natural to helping people that were in need. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. Excuse me. Another thing to consider. They did that because they love God. Years ago, there was a TV show, and I'm sure some of you will probably remember this. It was called Kung Fu. It was about a Chinese monk skilled in the art of Kung Fu. And though he was a man of peace, many times in the story that we saw on TV, he at least a few times beat somebody to pulp. One of the stories telling his telling techniques was using the flashbacks to when the days when he was a young trainee of the blind master. The blind master back then called him Grasshopper. In one such flashback, Grasshopper was standing in line to give a gift of flowers to the blind instructor. And as he was standing in line, there was another student in front of him with the same thing that he had, a gift to give to the blind master. But the blind master, when he got to this first gentleman, says, you know, leave, I don't want to see you, because he knew he wasn't there with the right heart. So Grasshopper decided to turn away because he had to almost get the same gift. And the master said to him, why do you turn away? He said, you sent the other one ahead of me away, and I thought I was going to leave before I got rejected. Oh, he says, you don't understand, said the blind teacher. He did not bring the gift because he liked me. He brought the gift because to gain influence or to buy my approval. You have brought the gift because you like me, the gift that I desire. We can remember back when Jesus said to Peter after the resurrection, Peter, do you love me? And what did he say? Feed my lambs. Again, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, take care of my sheep. And the third time, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. The highest and only acceptable motivation for serving God is, do you love him? The last point I want to make is God's rewards aren't always immediately. One of the things that struck me about the story of the sheep and the goats is that you don't get the impression that they've been rewarded for their deeds on earth, at least not as much as God intended. They did their acts of kindness without expecting reward, and the most valuable reward is offered now as the judgment seat of Christ. Paul was conscious of this reality when he wrote in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Part of the reason God may not reward us immediately for our good deeds may indeed be to make sure that we aren't doing it for the wrong reasons. To make God owe us, and so when God doesn't reward us immediately for all the good we've done, it can get easy to become discouraged. And that goes in the last illustration that I have here. This was back when Roosevelt was president, and we had some missionaries that were over in Africa for many, many years doing the work that they loved to do, and they were coming back to New York to retire. They were coming back no pension. Their health wasn't very good. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. And they just happened to be booked on one of the ships that President Roosevelt was on, and he was coming back from one of his great hunting expeditions that he liked to do. And the gentleman was kind of upset because all this fanfare was following the president around the ship. And they were saying, man, we've done all this work in Africa, and nobody says anything to us, like thank you or doing a good job. And he was really getting frustrated as the trip was going on. Finally, his wife said, dear, you shouldn't feel that way. He said, I just can't help it. It doesn't seem right. So finally, the ship docked in New York, and the band was there, the governor was there, and all the dignitaries were there to see the president get off the ship, and all the fanfare was going on, and he was really getting frustrated. So him and his wife got off the ship, went and looked for an apartment, found one, and were hoping that the next day they'd be able to figure out what they could do if they could make a living in the city of New York back then. That night, the man's spirit broke, and he couldn't stand it anymore. He said to his wife, I just can't take it. He said, God is not treating us fairly. His wife replied, why don't you go to the bedroom and talk to the Lord and see what he has to say? A short time later, he came out of the bedroom. But now his face was completely different. His wife asked, dear, what happened? The Lord settled it with me, he said. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive all this tremendous homecoming and that no one met us as we returned home. But when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, but you're not home yet. We do know when that time comes when we're all going home, it's going to be a glorious place, and our reward is there in heaven. And I'm going to end with reading the first 10 verses from Galatians chapter 6. And the 10th verse, I think, is the one that's really important. It said, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritually should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. He can then take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with the instructor. Who do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary of doing good. For the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, if we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. It says all people, not just certain people. It says all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that's what I have this morning. I know it wasn't very long, but I hopefully that maybe we might learn from something there, that as we begin maybe this second part of the year, we're almost halfway through it, we can do what verse 10 says. We have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. Let us really concentrate on that on the second half of the year. And let us do good to all people, not just certain people. Let's really work at taking care of all the things that need to be done. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that we can be here this morning. We're truly grateful that we have had the opportunity to learn a portion of your word. And we're truly grateful for your son's sacrifice on that cruel cross, you allowing him to come here and be willing to give up his life on that cruel cross for our sins. We ask now, Heavenly Father, you forgive us of our sins. We ask as your son's most holy and precious name. Amen. We have the opportunity now for those that might be struggling with something that's on their mind. Want to come forward and we can pray about it. Or if you've never been baptized for remission of sins, we have a baptistry. We can do that at this time. So if there's anything that you'd like to share with the congregation, you can let it known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement at this time.